Did you know there are 37 slots on the European roulette wheel? The normal temperature of the human body in Celsius is 37. There are 37 seconds of church bells in the intro to Black's... Fuck, Dan, shut the fuck up!
Sorry.
Mute your shit, motherfucker!
Sorry, man.
Fucking guy, there's a mute button, you fucking amateur.
There's gonna be 37 takes on this intro.
Sorry, man.
The guy put COVID in the show.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 37. My name is Notorious T.I.D. That's Donnie Da Silva. That's Danny O.
Perfect.
I'd like to welcome you all to the show.
Nice.
What's going on, Donnie?
And from the top... Did you know there are 37 slots on the European roulette wheel? The normal temperature of the human body in Celsius is 37. There are 37 seconds of church bells in the intro to Black Sabbath's self-titled song, which is widely considered the start of the heavy metal genre. And this is the 37th episode of The Godfathers of Podcasting and the first of 2021. This week's episode is brought to you by Kangol Hats, Camelback, Coffee Friend, Eyeglasses.com, Factory Supply Outlet, Air Vape, Fight TV, Just CBD, NordVPN, and of course, the merchandise that's available on GodfathersOfPodcasting.com. Go there and you can get your merch today. My name is Donnie Da Silva, and it is my absolute esteemed pleasure to introduce to all of you the King Joffy Joffer and the Prince Akeem to my Arsenio Semi. Ladies and gentlemen, Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell and your bro Danny O.
It's amazing that you two are the same. Oh,
it's the fingers, I guess, for him, right? Wow, how's it going? That was on just the other day too.
What's with the COVID cough all over the
Oh no, I was fine. I didn't even have to cough. I was just making a reference.
Yeah, okay.
So that you couldn't edit it out. Our beautifulness that was.
I don't know which one of you is King Joffer and which one of you is Prince Akeem. You can fight that out between yourselves.
That's what I want to know. Yeah, like I said, I'm surprised you took Semi.
Hey, man, I am a humble and eager servant around here.
I see.
He's always been pretty much a Semi.
I got a Semi right now. And you know what, Dan? I just realized right now, this being episode 37, you have to be in a good mood because 3 plus 7 equals 10.
Oh, that's
what?
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Well, let's hope we have a good one.
It has to be. And for those of you that are new to the show, Dan has a very unhealthy obsession with the number 10. We just, you know, throw that out there. That's the way it is.
You mentioned roulette earlier. The only time I've ever won money in life.
Let me guess. You bet on 10.
Correct. In Tid's hometown. On a red roulette 10. Table.
In Las Vegas, Nevada?
Nevada, baby.
Nevada.
Bet
Nevada.
On 10.
Nevada. Wow.
You know what else is from Nevada, guys? It's crazy that I've been noticing lately.
You're from Nevada and you're crazy.
A lot of crazy people. A lot of crazy people, right? Have you guys... Okay, listen. I'm going to jump into this right now because there's a whole big thing going on with... obviously, we're going to get further into the news and stuff like that. But there's a competitor to Facebook. You know this, right? And it's this website called Parler. Or something like that, where they there's freedom of speech and everything like that.
It's the right-wing Facebook.
It's the conservative. Oh, wow. It's the conservative side of Facebook, and it's the right-wing Facebook. And already, like, it's like they got, you know, 4 million active. It's only been going on for a couple of months, years, something like that. Very short period of time.
Yeah.
And it's got like 4 million active people, 10 million whatever's all over and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, that's insane, and just in itself. And then I was like, wait, what? Am I seeing this right? This thing is based out of Henderson, Nevada,
wow.
Which is outside of Las Vegas, as you know. And Henderson, Nevada is a wonderful little burb if you're looking for crack cocaine.
So not the nicest part of the state?
It is got a little bit of crime issues going on out there in Henderson. It is not like Las Vegas at all, you know, that you see on the Strip. And it is, it didn't shock me and surprise me, not so much that it's from Henderson, because there are good people to live there. There's good people to live everywhere. There's bad people that live everywhere. That's just the world that we live in right now. But the part that didn't surprise me so much is it got me to thinking, like, what is it that is causing all of these people, these conservatives, to live their lives based on memes? Because that's really what's going on. It's these conspiracy theory memes that they're sharing with one another, that as soon as they see it, oh my God, it's in writing, it's got to be true or whatever.
And it's their source of news.
And this is a big thing. This is a big, huge thing going on in the States and all over the world, really, right? Because, I mean, let's face it, it's conspiracy theories, right? And it got me thinking. I wanted to ask you guys on this one, what's your favorite conspiracy theory? Because everybody's got at least one, right? Like, you know, you think about the big one, the moon landing, the JFK assassination, you know, the lizard people are running the world. I mean, there's all kinds of these conspiracy theories have been around for a long, the Princess Di thing. Like, there's been all of these ones all over. You know what I mean? What's yours, Dan?
Gerbils and George Clooney's ass.
I think that's more urban legend.
Well, see, I find like all these things are kind of correlated because it seems like it's rumor that turns into it could be true, that turns into someone saying it's true. So the more it's said, the more people believe it. I mean,
it wasn't George Clooney, by the way, it's Richard Gere.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was my sorry, George.
Allegedly.
It was the whole Richard Gere thing. You know, and to be honest with you, I mean, the shit still goes on today because you got these same you know, right wingers you're talking about. The biggest thing that I'm hearing right now, so this is really not a favorite, obviously, but the thing that I continue to hear from Trumpers is that Biden's a pedophile. And I don't know if you would call that urban legend, conspiracy theory or whatever, but I know that it has QAnon ties and there is no evidence to support it.
Sure.
He's never been accused of or, you know, like, so it's insane to me that these people are so steadfastly believing in things that literally have zero evidence to support it.
But that's not what I was asking. That's
and then I don't know the difference.
What's your favorite one? Like, do you believe that 9/11 was an inside job?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Do you believe that the moon landing actually happened? Do you believe that Area 51 was hiding aliens? Do you believe that the JFK assassination? Like, there's always one that makes people go, man, I don't know. That could be right. Donnie, what's yours?
See, for me, it's not my favorite in terms of I could get on board with it. It's my favorite in terms of the reaction of the people that believe it. And that's the flat earthers, right? Mm. The flat earthers are a hilarious bunch of morons.
Yeah,
they really entertain me to no end. Like when Kyrie Irving came out a few years ago and outed himself as a flat earther, I'm like, brother, you went to Duke. Mm. Like, you actually went to college, to Duke, and you think the world is flat? And everybody that says this just has the same right-wing approach to the facts. They go, well, we don't know. That's what they want you to think.
Right.
Okay.
It's all just fake. We don't know that. They just Photoshop those pictures of the Earth. Like, to what end? What is the benefit? This is my thing with all conspiracy theories.
Right.
Right? Like, if there's a conspiracy theory that leads to money, then I'm down with it. Like, there's a whole sect of sports fans that have conspiracy theories about my team gets robbed because we're a smaller market and the bigger market brings better ratings. As much as I love sports, I can get behind that conspiracy theory because there's money that powers that thought. The whole thing from years ago when the Sacramento Kings lost to the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference Finals and the Kings were the best team on the planet, should have won the NBA title that year. I can get behind that theory. The Kings were not a sexy team. Sacramento's a small market. The Lakers had Kobe and Shaq. Their ratings bonanza. I can almost buy it. And then there was a corrupt referee that came out years later and said, that shit was fixed.
Wow.
So I can kind of get behind that. But these flat earthers and even the 9/11 stuff, man. Like, and I'm not one of these guys that just goes, oh, that's all nonsense. You guys are full of shit. Like, right. I watch all those conspiracy theory right. videos. I want to see, what do they believe?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I intake everything. And then I go, get the fuck out of here.
That's the best part. That's the best part about the whole thing, right?
Right.
Because, you think about it. Flat Earth Society has already come out and said, we've got members all around the globe. They said those fucking words. Think about that statement.
All around the globe. Oh, man. That's amazing.
We have experts from here to there.
But wow. it pretty much like solidifies, wow. like if you get enough people, and there are a bunch of people that believe in at least one or more conspiracies.
Ooh, I just thought of my favorite conspiracy theory. This is legit. How about this one? And this ties to what's going on in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very, at first this started as a joke thing, but now sure. it's turned into something that people really get behind. The Simpsons predict the future.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There are a sect of people out there wow. that believe that the producers, the writers of The Simpsons have some kind of psychic ability, because there are websites dedicated to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of examples of things that happened on The Simpsons
sure.
years and years ago. The most recent one being an episode from years ago where in January of 2021, on the episode of The Simpsons, political unrest leads to an uprising, a riot that destroys a government building, with Homer Simpson sitting in the rubble at the end.
But it happened already.
So did that.
But it didn't. But the episode was made years ago.
Yeah, so.
And they said it was January 2021.
Of course. You can just put so it then, here.
Yeah, but is that a legit episode? I mean, I've seen.
Yeah. That's a legit okay. episode.
So then do you not think that it's possible? Isn't that one of those things that maybe they are predicting this shit?
See, now you're one of those guys.
No, but you literally this just said there is an episode that has sure. predicted this. And I know that I don't know all of them, but I know there's so many different things that they say. And now, as a fan of The Simpsons, I really can't recall every episode and every single thing that they've done. So I haven't looked into it. But if every episode that they claim has made a prediction actually has made that prediction, what's not to believe? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, has this research been backed? Or they you can put up a screenshot and go, this was from, you know, November 2006, when it wasn't, right? It's just like, you could. So what I'm saying is it legit? Did these episodes legitimately come out with these?
So you believe the conspiracy?
Not necessarily. I'm just saying that there's reason to believe that it could be possible.
Well, so for those of
this is to my point,
and I don't know. That's my point. I don't know. I haven't seen.
But this was to my point. The entire thing. You can see how easy it is. If a few things that trigger us, then we believe this, going to be more likely to believe into conspiracy.
Yeah, right? But this is the
and
problem.
And so this is. But hold on. This is why we end up with all of these people. If I believe in one conspiracy, I'm going to believe in two. If I believe in two, I'm going to believe in four. And next thing you know, you have this alt-right mentality that's happening right now, right? With these people, this Trumpism reality that is happening out there right now. These people that have taken an American flag under the guise that they believe in this country, they've taken their flags down and they've replaced them with flags of Trump.
Yeah.
You have these same kind of people that are believing that lizard people run the earth and the Illuminati is a real thing and all of this. And now you can
see. And the military is creating dog men. This is Alex Jones.
Simple things.
I don't know,
you can
man.
See how easy it is to get sucked into it. You just about got sucked into a Simpsons cult.
No,
and within a matter of a couple of minutes.
No, I didn't.
You're questioning it within a matter of minutes. That's exactly what happened.
We'll
play it back. This is live. This is recorded.
This is on tape. What I said Memorex. Was
that's what's
going to
happen.
Asking,
don't argue about it. That's what happened. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Is there evidence? In other words, that little thing that Donnie just put on the screen. I don't know that that's really from the episode.
That's what I'm saying.
Someone created. So I wouldn't believe that. That could easily be someone decided to Photoshop it this morning, stick a 2021 on there and go, this was in an episode from years ago. Unless I see the episode myself to know that it actually happened. You know what I'm saying? These could be, people can draw this shit. Maybe it's not from an episode. Now, what my point is, if and when people believe in conspiracy theories without having done the research, without looking into it themselves, without going, I saw it on one website or one person's Instagram post or whatever, you're the idiot who follows conspiracy theories without having done any research or attaining any true evidence as to what it is you believe in. There's nothing that I believe in that I haven't researched to discover for myself what I think. So I don't believe in this theory. I would still have to do my research. That's why I say it is possible, maybe, if these things are truly predictions and not just someone, you know, screenshotting shit and putting it on a website.
So here's a few for
like, you know,
okay?
Like all these different things here. Like, I don't know that for a fact.
Well, these are from The Simpsons, and these are episodes you'll probably remember. Here's one. Lady Gaga flying over the Super Bowl at a halftime show. That happened years later. There's one here about Nobel Prize winner. There's, of course, everyone knows this famous one about they predicted Trump running for president. That was in an episode, and then it was like it was Homer's dream. He's like, oh, we'd never be that stupid.
Right.
The tiger attack on Siegfried and Roy.
Well, this was hold on. That's an easy given right there.
But still, they put it on TV in 1993.
A tiger, you are just playing roulette every single time you stick your shit into a tiger's mouth, man.
There's a whole bunch of them here, and I don't need to go over these in detail. People can look them up, but there are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of examples. And the reason I bring it up is only because, to Tid's point, any group of people that find themselves emotionally attached to a cause will find a reason to believe a certain point of view.
Right.
In this case, if you're a big Simpsons fan,
without doing their
right,
that's the problem.
Right,
absolutely.
And it's the same thing with 5G causes coronavirus. It's the same thing with flat earthers. It's the same thing with the moon landing was done in Studio 6 in West Hollywood. It's all the same garbage and whatever. I don't personally, I haven't heard one good conspiracy theory yet that I go, I'm on board. Not one. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, call me cynical, but it's just not there for me. Just to sort of go back a step, because I referenced, obviously, what is going on right now in the world at large. And obviously, you'd have to be living under a rock not to be aware. Today is January 7th. And on the 6th of January in Washington, D.C., all hell broke loose hours before votes were going to be certified for Biden taking office in a couple weeks' time. A group of extreme right-wing Trump supporters stormed the Capitol building with the intention of preventing the certification from happening. So I want to clarify for the people that say it was just peaceful protest, just like other peaceful protests we saw last year. No, it wasn't. There's a difference between a protest. There's even a difference between a riot that happens as a result of a social cause. And there's a difference between this, which was an attempt at a government coup. That's what this was. They came armed. They came strapped. They were there to intimidate the law enforcement and whatever law enforcers were there. And they were attempting to go in and say, you will not certify these votes. This is not happening. Trump is our president. 2020, four more years, all this bullshit. That was what it was. It was terrorism. And the fact that the president of the United States tweeted out and said, these are good people and, you know, they should do what they're doing. Just don't hurt anybody. To me, that was the final nail in his coffin. And for those that are questionable about that, I want you to take this into consideration. Trump has been suspended from Twitter indefinitely. Trump has been suspended from Facebook indefinitely. Trump, as a result of yesterday's actions, has been suspended from Instagram indefinitely. Okay. That means that all of these social platforms that he uses to spread this garbage have all said, all right, you know what? Fuck it. Enough. And while I feel it's a little bit too little too late and they should have done this 4 years ago, they're now at the point where they're like, this guy's on his way out the door. He's probably going to prison. Fuck him. And
he's going to end up on Parler.
He will end up on Parler. But I think this is, as shitty as yesterday's events were, I think this is the rock bottom that was needed to initiate the change at the Republican level, at the Republican Party, with Republican supporters. I don't think all Republican supporters are nut jobs like Donald Trump. I saw a tweet today that said, not all Republicans are racists, but all racists are Republicans. Mm-hmm. And I think that now the Republicans that don't associate themselves with these nut jobs are going, okay, you know what? Fuck this. Enough. We saw Mitt Romney yesterday. We saw a bunch of other Republican leaders come forward and go, you know what? No, stop it. There was no fraud. Enough. Stop doing this shit. And that carries weight. The fact that Pence is being pressured to step in and take over the presidency for the last 2 weeks, citing a lack of mental health from the standing president, says something right there. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this all unfolds. I would not be surprised if anyone that was arrested as a result of yesterday's terrorism acts is pardoned by the president before he heads out the door, but he cannot pardon himself. And the 26 sexual assault allegations notwithstanding, this being so public and so undeniable may be the thing that really finally does him in.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Do you think it will?
I know. Because to me, this is even bigger. This is bigger than Donald Trump. To me, the idea of him being done in isn't as big as the blatant and disgusting display of overt and clear hatred, racism, and bigotry that everything that went down yesterday proves. And what I'm specifically attempting to reference here is the stark and obvious difference between the way in which these terrorists were treated by law enforcement and by the president himself when compared to Black Lives Matter protesters or anyone who has marched the streets in 2020 in support of justice for those who have been wrongly murdered. The fact that he would say literally, we love you, when a black man kneels before a football game, he's a son of a bitch. And I could make reference after reference. You already know what I'm talking about. I'm sure everyone watching and listening knows what I'm talking about. And I don't, you know, we don't need to run through the list and the gauntlet of wrongdoings that have taken place over the past year, let alone, you know, centuries. But what I was overly disgusted by yesterday and always have been and will always continue to be is the clear difference between the way in which people are described, even the fact that there are people who are going to try and have compared this to say, well, you know, BLM protests and everything that you said, Donnie, this was an attack. Mm-hmm. This was the hypocrisy. It's so vomit inducing to me. The hypocrisy of the idea that these people could attack a government building. How did they even get close to the government building, let alone in the government building? How is that not one of the top three most secure places in the United States? Tiddix, because I'm telling you, it's not possible for people of color to pull this off.
It's absolutely possible. No, because it wasn't people of color that did this thing. And it's
that's what I'm saying.
And here's the reason. Here's what everybody's missing on this entire thing. Everybody's trying to compare what happened yesterday to what happened with the BLM movements of last year. Okay. And you can't.
You can't
do that, because that's like comparing you know, tomatoes to fucking dog shit. Like, it's just not the same fucking thing, right? A protest that did what, though? Let's take this apart for a second. A protest, why? Because a police officer, right, killed another human being.
Correct.
Period.
Right.
And we've gotten sick and tired of seeing this happen where this has happened, and that's why we as a society stood up against this.
Right.
You cannot compare that with my guy lost.
Yeah.
You can't compare that. But during that entire thing, who was the BLM movement after? Who was that whole summer and everything after? It was against the police force. The Blue Lives Matter people,
right,
those were the people that you saw yesterday.
That's right.
At this event. Mm-hmm. So when you saw them at this event and the cops are like, yo, we're with you on this one. You know what I mean? We might just like look the other way a little bit. You know, these are all things that are possibilities. Here, lady, let me help you down the stairs. Let me hold your hand down there. Like, this is why when you ask yourself, how could this happen? This is how it happens.
Oh, no, I know.
The side that they were sitting there going, listen, we hate cops. Okay, we get that. You hate cops. But this guy's like, no, cops are good. We got to stand up for cops. Hey, we're going to go storm the fucking Capitol. And the cops aren't going to do anything. You know
why?
Because we spent the entire last year sucking their dicks.
Right. Yeah, absolutely right. I was seeing this thing today where this woman was talking about the fact that, you know, white people aren't afraid of the police. And this is an exact reason why, is because they are, it's like they're part of this similar congregation of people who share the same views and will allow passes for people to commit acts of violence and terrorism when other people who are not part of that congregation can't even cross the street or drive their car with their family in it safely. And for us, it's always been obvious. We've obviously discussed this on the show numerous times. But I think what gets me more than the acts itself and the continued, insanity that these people represent is the idea that for so long we keep getting told by these same people that he didn't say what he said and you didn't see what you just saw. Like, we're so stupid, so gullible, perhaps as much as they are in believing all these theories, that we're going to believe that, yeah, you're right, the president actually didn't incite this. In fact, when I saw this stuff on TV and was like, holy shit, it's gotten there. I had seen it before I actually saw what predicated it, which was an actual Trump rally where he told them that we're going to, so I'm like, he literally caused this. This is not one of those, like, it's what he said on Twitter and people got the wrong message, where people, because that's what they always do. They try to tell us that's not what he meant. He meant it this way. You're taking it out of context. And he has his fucking crazy ass, what do you call him? His representative, at the White House there speaking on his behalf, always telling us, no, that's not what he said. No, that's not what he meant. No. And that's the thing that really jars at me. It's like, motherfucker, I don't need you to translate English. You know what I'm saying? I understand what he said, and that's exactly what he said. And this couldn't be a clearer example of him saying, do something, motherfuckers doing it, and it clearly being wrong.
Well,
everything about it.
All he's doing right now, in my opinion, anyway,
this guy needs to be in jail now.
He's trying to make sure that he maintains his fan base once he's out in, 10 plus 12 days, something like that, right? From where we are right now. He has to maintain this fan base. That's why he says things like, I know how you feel.
Yes.
They robbed us of
us,
this.
Yes,
they robbed me. They robbed you. They robbed the nation. This is why he uses the words that he uses, because it's not about the country.
It's not
about the politics. It's not about the policies. It's not about the betterment of the United States of America. It's not about bringing it back to anything other than what these ultra conservatives, these paleo conservatives and these populists and these guys, these Alex Joneses of the world, really are using a guy like Trump as their guy. He's our guy. He's going to get it done because he's got the money and everybody knows him. He's the apprentice thing. But it goes further than Trump. And this is the problem.
That was
it goes
my point.
Further than that in the United States.
Yeah.
There is an entire core of people that believe this way.
Correct.
And it's not Republicans. Republicans. We can't say Republicans anymore because even Republicans are turning their back on Trump's actions over the late. They're like, listen, at the end of the day, we need a job here still. And that is not the way that we do things in the United States of America.
Right.
But it's this core base that Trump needs to keep for another 4 years, because if he comes back after arguing all of this time about this two-party system in the United States, and he comes back and he creates a rift with a third party, a party called the MAGA Party, and he has this base over the next 4 years because he's not going to jail. If he goes to jail as a president, it sets a different kind of precedent each and every time a new president comes into office.
Right.
That's a different can of worms.
No. It reinforces the old precedent.
Hold on. He will be tied up in court for well over 4 years. Oh, there's no doubt about it. Within that time, he can still rally these troops, get this fire going. Because to him, it's not about doing anything more than making sure that his fans look at him.
Like I said earlier,
all of these people took down an American flag, the country that they say they believe in so feverishly and so adamantly. They took this down and they replaced it with a flag that says Trump.
Right.
One person, one individual.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. They're literally minions. And this is why, to Donnie's point, I don't share his optimism, because whatever happens to Trump, that same one person, it doesn't change the fact that his 74 million voters and God knows who else is still going to have his back, regardless of who's the president, if he gets impeached, if he gets put in jail. This is the way that people think.
But the 74 million are not.
I think a lot are gone.
Yeah, the 74
you
million.
Think so?
Yes,
I don't.
A lot of that. You're wrong. Because let me tell you why you're wrong.
How did you not know this was going to happen? This is not a surprise.
You're mixing up two different points. What happened yesterday is not a surprise. However, what you're saying is that his 74 million followers are with him through thick and thin. Here's the thing, Dan, that you're not taking into consideration. The gross majority of his 74 million supporters that voted for him are just registered Republicans who will vote for whoever is on the Republican ticket. That's it. There are the vocal minority who are the over-the-top fucking crazy-ass Trumpers. But that is the vocal minority. There are plenty of Republicans in the United States of America, just like there are plenty of conservatives in Canada, that are not extremists.
They had a $1,400
stimulus increase to these people who are suffering right now. In the last week, they got voted down by their guy, by a Republican,
right?
That's going to change a lot of views. So you're going 100%. To see a lot of people. Does he have a following? Oh, absolutely. Do I think it's north of 10 million? 100%. Do I think it's south of 50 million? Absolutely, I do. Do I think he can win a presidency? Do I think he could win a presidency based on what he has right now? Absolutely not. Do I think he can do it in 2024? No, I do not. But I think what he can do is he can cause a lot of bullshit.
So two quick points. One quick point that I want to make, fellas, is this. With respect to the whole Donald Trump thing, I was on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, and I was reading a Donald Trump Facebook fan page, okay, with all these Trump supporters that are talking about Donald Trump. And I didn't post, because if I did, it's a shitstorm. But I just read, because I wanted to learn. And I just read, what are these people thinking? What are they thinking? And one of the prevailing things I saw that kept coming up was this. Someone posted a video of him talking in September of 2020 when asked about COVID. He goes, well, the vaccine is ready to go. The vaccine is ready to go. It's going to be ready in a couple of weeks. It's going to be out to hundreds of millions of Americans, probably next month. For sure, before the end of the year, we'll have most of the country inoculated. The military is on standby. They're ready to go. And we're going to have a vaccine for everybody before the end of the year. The end of the year came and went. And what Trump did from the day he lost the election until today is bitch about a rigged election, recruit followers and solicit money to the tune of millions of dollars from his followers in order to fund these frivolous lawsuits. And he went golfing 4 out of 7 days a week. There was never again a mention of, we have that vaccine for you. Even if I go out, guys, and even if Joe takes over, here's what I promised you, right? It never got mentioned again. Just like in 2015, when he started his campaign and said, the Obamacare plan is a disaster. I have the best healthcare plan and I'm going to present it. And he still, to this day, has never rolled out a healthcare plan. This is what the Republicans, not the Trumpers, Dan, the Republicans are saying right now. We're fed up. This is enough.
They
and this
had
is why
4 years to
agree.
See he was absolutely incapable.
But dude, this is what I'm telling you. Over
and
the course
voted
of that
for him to the tune of 74 million.
Correct.
You're
because as
me
I
that
said,
all of a sudden this week they've decided now we've had enough.
What I'm telling you is there are a lot of people that are speaking up right now on social media. There are the extremists that are saying, well, this whole thing was bullshit and it was all just Antifa and it was like actors hired by the liberals. Blah, 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 blah. There are those morons.
How many
but there are those
changed?
There are those that are the card-carrying Republicans that vote along party lines that are like, you know what? This is enough. And it is represented, Dan, by the Republican leadership, all the different Republican senators. Remember, they won the Senate. And all the Republican senators coming forward and going, okay, enough of this bullshit. Enough.
Yeah.
Like, we're tired of this bullshit.
Oh, they're tired.
Dude, they represent their constituents.
Absolutely.
Those motherfuckers absolutely. Have been with Trump this whole time. I don't give a fuck about any of these assholes going,
here's
now we're not.
Don't mistake being a part of the party as being with him. Right. Don't mistake those
if
two things.
If you voted for Trump, fuck you.
All right.
Here's the funniest thing to me. Does everybody remember what was it? Charlottesville? Remember the neo-Nazi rallies in Charlottesville? And
absolutely.
And what were they saying? What were they saying? What were they saying there? What was it? It was Jews
will not replace
us. Jews will not replace us. That was the big thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember who the current, until the next president takes over, the current leader of the House is? Mitch McConnell. Who's the new one? Probably going to be Charles Schumer. Last I checked, Charles Schumer is as Jewish as you get. So suck on that one, boys. The Jews just done replaced you.
You know what? Before we get to our guest, because he is on in the waiting room, I just want to say this last point. In addition to all the fuckery that happened this week, in addition to all the question marks about Trump's future and what happens and does he get charges filed against him once he steps down and everything else, all the question marks that are out there, does he run again in 4 years? All the question marks that are out there. It seems to me like everyone that attended this terrorism scene yesterday just seemed to forget that COVID's still a thing.
Oh, that's a whole other thing.
And I just want to throw this out there. I have a friend of mine on social media who works with Ontario Public Health, and she posted something this morning that says, I'm so discouraged. We are now seeing the holiday COVID surge, and it's exhausting. How difficult is it to stay home? Each household case infects almost the entire household. One case becomes four in the blink of an eye. We're never going to get out of this lockdown. People are too selfish. And you want to talk about all the, like, all I saw on social media for the last few weeks was, you know, people having a Halloween, a Christmas party, people having a New Year's party, people getting together, people having big gatherings, 20 people, 30 people. I'm like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Well, they're part of my bubble. I don't know where y'all are from, but here in Ontario, there's no bubbles anymore. There hasn't been for a month. The bubbles are gone, y'all. You have no bubble. So people need to smarten the fuck up and stop being selfish dick. Well, I just want to see all my peoples for Christmas. Go fuck yourself, because I didn't get to see anybody for Christmas. So fuck you. Okay. Now, with that all being said, I'm fucking fired up and I'm full of piss and vinegar. And it is time right now for the big hello. Ladies and gentlemen, our featured guest tonight is someone that I first met over 20 years ago. We were friendly competitors at first before working together to run a fun little info service for the Talking Yellow Pages or some damn thing. And then we teamed up to produce a television show that never made it to air. The fact that we shot the pilot for that show on September 11th, 2001 was probably a bad fucking omen. From there, he retired his boy band haircut and transformed himself into something more mystical. Already a lifelong magician, he started a new career as the undisputed bad boy of hypnotism. He's performed across North America with residencies in many incredible venues. You've seen him on the Oprah Winfrey Network, TLC, City TV, Entertainment Tonight, MTV, Edge 102, The Naked News, Dear fucking God, I hope he wasn't naked. His cutting edge dirty hypnotism is absolutely hilarious. And I know all of us here in this room that have been out and taken in his shows had a blast every single time we saw him do his thing live. If you follow him on social media, you know he's very politically aware and opinionated. We're happy to have him here with us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him. And if you don't, he'll use his hypnotic fucking voodoo to make you think you do. Magic's favorite dirty man, Dave Curran. What's that?
I'd love to know who books this shit. You guys, you know, one of the top 10 most newsworthy events of the past century, and let's bring on a comedy hypnotist the next day. That's really smart. Good.
Hey, do us a favor, Dave. Do us a favor. Bring that mic a little closer to that both of yours.
Is that better?
Yeah, now better. We can hear you.
All right.
It was it was a pretty simple reason why we brought you on, though.
Yeah,
I figure with everything that was been going on and stuff like that, we needed to bring somebody on here who could actually have a chance of making us believe that this isn't all just going to fucking hell in a handbag.
Yeah, right. Not a miracle worker, all disappear, dude. Please.
Yeah, no. Sorry, can't help you there.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave. Go ahead.
Sorry, bro. I was actually just going to say it's all in keeping with our history, man. We get together on these insane historic days because I met both of you, Donnie and Dave, on September 11th, 2001, doing that pilot that you just referred to. So we thought it only made sense since America's fucked all over.
That's crazy.
It's Dave Curran time.
You know, I always think to myself, I'm forever connected with Donnie in my memories because, you know, people always ask you, where were you on September 11th? Well, I was walking in the streets of downtown Toronto with Donnie trying to film a TV show in a small little bar somewhere.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing with me too. Gretzky. He's always in my memories too. Whenever I need to finish.
It's a different memory, Ted. We don't talk about those on air.
Sorry.
Different memories. Yeah, you know what? It's funny. When I was thinking about your intro for tonight, Dave, and I was thinking about that night, like. It's so crazy when I go back and think about it. Dave and I were working on a panel type discussion talk show.
Yeah.
That was going to be something kind of cool, kind of different. And we spent, I don't know how much time, months in production.
Months. It was almost a year. I remember it very well. And you know, I look back at it and I think if it only made it, you know, we'd have been ahead of the curve.
Totally. You know, because after that, there was a million shows that came out that were so similar in content and style. And we had this cool concept. We just happened to air a pilot or not air a pilot. We filmed a pilot on September 11th of 2001 or two. Yeah. And we had this pilot that we put together. And then the network that was interested in the show at the time, they said, guys, we can't be putting this shit on TV right now. Look what's going on in the world. And it's like, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, and if you remember correctly, we actually filmed two episodes. There was two episodes.
I remember.
Now one filming. So we actually had two episodes in the can. And since all that's happened, there's been so many stories and rumors and innuendo of why that show didn't actually make it to air. And I don't think I'll ever know the truth. You know, the first line I got was, we can't do it because of what just happened.
Right.
All right.
That kind of made sense. And then a couple of weeks later, the word got out that it was Carl DeMarco, WWE Canada, that didn't want it. There's nothing in it for the WWE. Why are they going to help provide content? Why are they going to let us use some copyrighted material? We're not a true news program, so we can't use it. But then I met Carl about 10 years ago. He had no idea who I was, couldn't remember me whatsoever, and he denied the whole thing. So I don't know.
That means nothing. Take it from Tid and I, who have had many run-ins with old Bison Head.
Yeah.
If his lips are moving, he's lying.
Yeah. So, Dave, do you have those episodes?
No, man. I got so many regrets. So back then, you know, it was 20 years ago. I was like 23, 24 years old. Not like I had money floating around. And the studio that partnered up with recorded it, they did it all pro bono at the time. Like, they weren't charging us anything on the understanding that if it goes to air, they're going to be an executive producer on it.
Right.
And back then, you know, you couldn't just record a show on a little sand disc or that. They were big honking tapes, and these tapes cost like $200 or $300.
Right.
We had the TV studio we were using down in downtown Toronto was, this was a legit TV studio where put out like real fucking TV shows, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't like a student project. This was the real deal.
It was state of the art for its time. Like, the technology is so outdated now. Obviously, you could do it in a little iPhone. But it was costing them probably about $500 or $600 every time we went out to go shoot. So they had whole bookshelf of cassettes where they recorded our show. And when we decided that's what we're throwing in the towel, he said, well, you know, if you want to buy these cassettes off me, you can. It's going to cost you like $4,000 or $5,000, or else I'm just going to reuse them and tape over them. I didn't have $5,000 in my wallet.
He couldn't even transfer them for you, eh?
No, it just didn't work that way.
So for people listening that are confused, the concept of this TV show that we were doing was, it was a wrestling show, but we were bringing on people that were from different walks of life, from different entertainment circles, musicians, broadcasters, television personalities, radio personalities. They were all coming in, you know, actors, whatever, and they were all going to come in and talk about stuff to do with the world of wrestling. And it was sort of supposed to be something that, hey, this will make wrestling cooler, and this is like showing that, you know, the profile's really high. And
Everything was shoot. There was nothing that was worked on it.
Right.
So, I remember the one that sticks out of my mind the most, and I regret that we don't have it. I know you remember this one, Donnie, because you took the lead on it, was driving down to Montreal for four hours.
Vampiro, there's another guy. If his lips are moving, he's lying.
I know, but the stories that he told us.
Well, they were all lies.
You think so?
Every single one.
I know, it would make great television, right?
Yeah, it would have been great television, but like, everything he said is a lie.
Yeah, you
know, remember, he told us he was dying and he had a disease and he was going to be dead in a couple years. Why is he still not dead?
Oh, man.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. But I mean, he didn't hold back. He told us names of alleged sexual abuse and all this kind of crazy stuff, and people had tried murdering him. And he wasn't just saying, oh, I'm not going to tell you who it is. He named names. And I remember you and I spoke on the way home. We are terrified of the information that we had. Like,
yeah, because at the time I didn't know Vampiro was a fucking liar. But
I don't even know now that you're telling me.
I got a question about that. Who was gonna do the booking for that show?
It was all done through Donnie and I, and Jeff the Ref came on at a little bit at the end there. So we had a Rolodex of all kinds of names and contacts of people. And then people were coming out of the woodwork and saying, hey, let's go on the show.
It's like, why did I have a payday?
So how did we end up here today?
How did we end up?
This is my question. Yeah. Like, how did this person, now how did we not get better guests, Donnie?
Well, somebody canceled. Okay. What do you want?
Yeah, and that's why I'm here now.
You know what? Here's the thing. Dave is we booked Dave before the shit that happened in Washington, D.C. And we just wanted to have some fun to start the new year. But obviously the tone of this week has changed considerably since we first booked Dave. But, you know, Dave's a friend that we've known for many, many years. And, you know, while I was hoping to have a little bit of levity, I do obviously want to get your thoughts and opinions. I know, for one thing, just to sort of set the tone for everybody, you and I were going back and forth on election night.
On the same team, though. Let's make that clear.
We were on the same team. However, I remember when we were watching the votes roll in, you had made a post where you said, well, folks, as much as I don't want to admit it, Trump's going to win this election.
I did.
Because there's not enough out there to take Pennsylvania. There's not enough out there to take Georgia. There's not enough out there to do this, to do that. And I was like, yo, yo, yo. This is on night one of the election.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, chill out. Yeah. This thing is long from over. They haven't even started counting the mail-in votes. And you're like, I don't think there's that many.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, there was a lot of mail-in votes.
I stayed up to 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Me too.
We were going back and forth on Facebook. And unfortunately, the Facebook brought all the little dweebs out of the woodwork. And You know, that's the one thing I love about 2020 is it has made me aware of the people who I don't want in my life anymore.
Absolutely. Like, bro.
Yeah. Like, that's the only thing. And some family members, unfortunately, some close friends, some acquaintances. And I'm like, oh, man, I really regret becoming political on Facebook.
But do you? Because I sometimes have that thought too. Because I never used to post political shit on
me
social
media.
I know. And over the last year or so, I have, and it's been out of a feeling of necessity that I have. Just like in all the different radio shows and podcasts that I've done over the years, I've never really been politically oriented. But on this show, we have episodes where it's entirely politically oriented, and it's like it feels like it's out of necessity. And I don't necessarily, at first, Dave, I was like you, I kind of regretted it. I'm like, fuck, man, I just opened up a shit storm with all these listeners and followers and everything else. And then I'm like, you know what? Fuck them. I don't care.
Well, that's also a problem, too, being in showbiz and entertainment. And especially for me, I live in a ticket-driven world.
Right.
So essentially, you know, I'm cutting off 50% of my potential audience. Mm-hmm. If they remember, oh, you didn't agree with me, I'm not going to go see your show. And it's so funny. Like, unfortunately, my Facebook is diluted. It's not true friends and family. It's 5,000 people. I know maybe about 50 of them. Right. So I see I see all these people commenting. I don't know who they are. Then I look in the background, I look at our text message history, I look at our friendships, and I realize they're like, hey, I love your show. You're great at the show. I'm like, oh, fuck, I just lost that person as a customer.
Right.
They're never coming back ever again. They're not going to buy one of my CDs. They're not going to buy a T-shirt. They're not going to support me. So that's the kind of regret I do have. But what can you do?
You know, I don't, because I'm with you, Dave. My use of social media is predominantly focused on, you know, promoting my material and being in the public eye, being an artist and entertainer. And I've actually had people message me. I don't know if this is the same experience, but like message me directly about the things that I've posted. And it even included one of the records that behind me there, when I put out a song called Born to Be, which had anti-Trump sentiments in it, people messaged about, you know, you saying this kind of stuff is going to cut off certain members of your fan base, just as you said. And I said, fuck them.
Because that's part of your fan base.
I don't give a fuck. It reminds me of Larry David. God knows I love Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm. His first episode of season 10 of Curb was an anti-MAGA episode. And he was asked the same thing. He goes, don't you think that you're going to have a lot of fans of the show kind of take offense? And he's like, fuck them. I'm like, so this is where I was, you know, before you came on today, Dave. We, of course, talked about what happened in Washington yesterday. And I said, you know, this is the culmination of things that we have known for the past 4 years with Trump in office. It's not a surprise to us, but what it really does is it showcases just how bad it's gotten in terms of how people will react to things that they're told by this madman, and he's created so many other madmen. And what that's done is put me in a position, like you guys were just talking about how you've gotten political on Facebook and how we've gotten political on this podcast. I don't think any of us have gotten political. I think we know the fucking difference between right and wrong. And I've always believed that. I'm not political either, but I know the motherfucking difference between right and wrong. And when I see wrong, I speak out against wrong. And when people are pro wrong, those aren't people I want in my life, not as fans and not as friends. So like you, I encourage you to not regret this. I have cut off motherfuckers all throughout 2020 and will continue to, because I don't need that type of devil. You don't need devils in your circle, man. Yeah. And I think this is, if there's a positive take from this, and I'd like I don't know how, you know, if you had direct, you know, not in COVID, we're not seeing people face to face like we were. If you've had a direct impact to your sales numbers outside of, it's hard to tell because COVID is a separate situation to affecting our careers. But I'm of the mind that I do not care what the numbers dwindle to if I'm losing people like that. It's not that they're Trump supporters. It's their supporters of wrong.
Who they are. Yeah, exactly.
Who they are as people. And I don't want to lose
those people. Here's the thing I don't have to worry about with that is my circle is pretty much a dash.
It makes life easy.
Sometimes I just love the fact that you're a piece of shit.
That's the kind of piece of shit I like.
I don't know if I've lost business because of Trump, because COVID has shut down my business.
I know since
March 12th of last year, and not anticipating to work anytime soon.
Well, let's pause for a second, because for those that are out there that have never been to a Dave Curran show. I want to give everyone the opportunity to have a little taste of what it's like. Take a look at this.
Over the years, Dave Curran has earned himself the nickname the Bad Boy of Hypnosis.
And all the guys will say, New Wide Awake is shipping down entertainers now.
Everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. Cause I saddle up my horse.
I'm sexy and I know it. Comedian. I'm sexy and I know it. Hypnotist. And hypnotically naughty.
Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 yeah. Wiggle, 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 yeah, yeah. Do the wiggle, man. I do the wiggle, man.
Raw and uncensored comedy. Come see the show the Toronto Sun describes as hilarious comedy that crosses the line. This is not your average hypnotist show.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Dave Curran, the Bad Boy of Hypnosis.
Now, I've been to a couple of your shows in the past, and I'll tell you, it's no joke, man. Like, I'm one of those guys that's afraid to get up on stage at a hypnotist show. I've never done it. I remember Dan did get on stage at one of your shows, and Dan was the biggest fucking skeptic. This shit don't work. This shit don't work. And he got on stage, and Dave dismissed him quickly because Dan was like, this is Dan. I'm not kidding to all the listeners out there, right? Dave's like, all right, everyone, close your eyes. And Dan's like this.
I'm not closing my motherfucking eyes.
He's looking around at everybody. And, and Dave's like, all right, everyone, just lower your head and relax, whatever the fuck he says. And Dan's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, this is it. This is the thing. This is what I want to say about Dave's show. Uh-huh. Firstly, I have earlier on the show, Dave, we were talking about conspiracy theorists and my approach to.
Let's go back to that, please.
Yeah, well, the point I want to make is my opinion is I like to see things for myself, research them myself, do my own little, let me look into this. I don't just believe what people say. So when I heard that you were doing the hypnotist show, and I remember we were on our way to your show, I was calling bullshit. I'm like, come on, man, this shit ain't real. This shit. Maybe I was too into the wrestling game. Maybe I was just like, I just don't believe it. I can attest to having been there and seeing you hypnotize motherfuckers.
And people we knew. People we knew.
People we knew, yeah, that's right. Right? And I'm like, yo, this shit is real. And I want to actually ask you something, because please correct me if I'm wrong, but I swear this is something that has actually stuck in my head ever since that show. Is that you made a reference to hypnotism being similar to like when you're driving and you end up somewhere and you end up going, how did I even get here? Yeah. And it continues to happen to me to this day, literally yesterday. And I've always have you that thing that what, so can you explain that? Because it continues to be like, I drove past where I was supposed to go and I'm like, I don't even know how I got here.
Cause you're still hypnotized. Dave never let you out of it.
And you think it's still in your head.
Shit that it trips me out to this day. So please explain that.
And what you said, that's one way. And there's another way of looking at it too, where you're driving and your car feels like it's on autopilot. Like it's not where you're missing your exit, but you're going straight to a destination that you're planning on going to without even you knowing you're doing it. Or you go to a destination that you're used to driving to all the time.
Right.
Bro, I do that at stoplights all the time, man. Uh-huh.
Like, do you bring like inflatable dolls?
I blast through it. No, that stays in the passenger seat so I can use the fast lane. But all the time, you pass through and I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh yeah, it was green. Whoo, I can keep going.
Let me ask you this, because we I've asked you a million questions over the years about hypnosis, and I'm a full believer in what it does and what it's capable of doing, the health benefits, people that stop smoking and everything else. I get it 1,000%, dude. I'm on board. But let me ask you this. Is hypnosis, for all the Star Wars nerds out there, is it kind of like the Jedi mind trick where it works better on the weak-minded?
No, it's not. And no disrespect to Danny, but it, the stronger-minded you are, the easier it's going to work.
Oh, so because he's stupid, it didn't work.
Yeah. No, but hold on. Let's be clear with this.
So Ted would be dancing like a chicken, is what you're saying.
I remember you guys coming to the show. I remember, Donnie, you came to a show a long, long time ago.
But I've been to a few, yeah.
But the most recent one you came to was at Dave & Buster's Vaughn, and that's when Dan came. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking with you before the show, Dan, and I also remember that you were forced to go up on stage.
Yeah.
All your buddies were telling you, you got to go up, you got to go up.
That's
so
true.
It's never going to work on you. If you're going to resist me and fight me. And
I remember you saying that. Yeah, I remember you saying that. And I'll be honest, maybe it was a part of me is like, shit, if I close my eyes, this guy's going to make it. Donnie will never let me live this down.
There was a friend of ours. There was a friend of ours that was on stage, and Dave was like, whatever the fuck. When I say this word, you're going to be masturbating, and you think that you're going to, like, you know, jizz all over the audience. Like, and I'm like, what? And he did it.
Man, I know.
And we asked him afterwards, like, do you remember what you did? He's like, yeah, it was fine.
So this is why I went. I want to go back to my question and ask Dave, like, I don't know if this is the same as a magician revealing a secret, but what is it that puts people in that mental state or lack of a mental state where you can control them like that?
Roofies.
Roofies. if it's only that easy.
That's Tid's magician's trick.
No. What I'm doing, so when I'm
inviting you, joke about sexual assault. We're so fucking canceled.
You said anything sexual about it, Donnie. Oh, it was going fine till you opened your yap.
All right.
Oh boy, what have I got myself into
here? Oh man,
nothing.
Hypnosis and roofies and sexual assault.
Yeah, you're now canceled.
The trifecta of entertainment.
Yeah.
Well, you do a dirty hypnotist show, so I'm sure people have had those kinds
dirty,
of questions.
Not sexual assault and raping with roofies.
So when you first started and stuff like this, obviously it wasn't like, you know, yuck yucks and
no,
the shows,
no.
The bigger shows and stuff like that. It reminds me, did you ever do this on those everything to do with sex show, like the conventions that they would have ran across Canada and stuff like that?
I did, and that was near latter part of my career, not the beginning. I started off just dabbling with this in my basement with some friends, just fucking around, just giving it a shot. Because you're not going to book yourself a Yuck Yucks in front of 500 people and give it a shot. So I started off doing stupid little shows with my friends, like 5-6 people, testing it. And then it would progress to little house parties and then gatherings and stuff like that. Then my buddy was hosting karaoke, a weekly karaoke thing, at this bar on Yonge Street. And the owner heard what I did and said, hey, do you want to do a show? I'm like, oh, sure. I did it, tried, and it worked. Obviously, there's a lot of mistakes. It wasn't a polished act, but I progressed since then.
Yeah.
But I did do the sex show probably about 5 years in a row. I didn't tour. They only hired local people, so they had a different hypnotist for the Montreal area, Halifax area, Vancouver. But I did the Toronto one, and it was pretty cool, you know, performing for probably about 5,000-6,000 people.
Wow.
Because that would be like your base crowd too, right? Like everything is like built right into your show perfectly for you.
Well, you would think that, but I don't market myself as a sex hypnotist. You know, I often get thrown into that same crowd as sex toys and porn stars and Naked News and all that kind of stuff.
Because when I look at you, all I think is porn star.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I need the stash. If I get the stash, that would finish it off, right?
I would do because you feel safe to me.
I don't need a roofie you.
No need to hypnotize Ted. He's game.
Yeah.
Okay. But sorry, I just want to rewind to Dan's question from before when he talked about.
Sorry.
Because we railroaded that. It was a really good question, and Dan seldom asks good questions. So let's highlight.
You got one.
So if I'm hypnotizing you, first of all, in a stage setting, and I only do it in a stage setting. I don't do it for hypnotherapy or clinical stuff. I only do it on stage. Like the first 10 minutes of the show, I'm up there just doing some talk, breaking the ice. And I'm also screening the audience too. I can tell by the reactions of people by what I'm saying, especially the people in the first two or three rows. Mm-hmm. You know, people who sit in the first two or three rows usually want to be part of the action. So I'm keeping a good eye on them. I'm looking at them for their reactions. Are they laughing at my jokes? Are they participating? That kind of stuff. And then when they come up on stage, I ask you to close your eyes. That's the first basic test. You close your eyes, you pass the first test.
Okay.
You don't close your eyes, you do what Donnie's doing. I know you're not there with me.
Right.
I remember with you, I gave you a little bit more leeway because you were an acquaintance and you were a friend. Typically, I don't even allow friends or family to come on stage.
Okay.
I don't want people accusing me. Oh, that's your sister-in-law.
It's a plant.
Right.
I
gave you two or three chances, but we knew quite quickly what's going to work on you. And then I progressed to more and more tests. And I'm giving the volunteers on stage a series of commands. They're verbal, they're physical, they're psychological, and they're also social. And doing a combination of these commands in a very specific order, you get the results that you want to get. That makes sense.
But the question is, I know for a fact that if I go check my brother and be like, yo, bro, close your eyes for a sec. Now pretend you got balls in your face. It's not going to work. So there is a technique.
But
there
if I go up to your brother and just say it like that in those two sentences, it's not going to work either.
Of course not. So that's why I asked you. I don't know if this is a magician revealing his tricks question or not. But I am curious to know what is it that gets people. It's not just closing your eyes. There's something that is being done. Right. Yeah. And that's what I'm fascinated by, and I'm curious to know if you can speak on it or not.
Unfortunately, it's not something I could just talk about in a short little time. I'll give you the basics.
Okay.
It's pretty much breaking down your barriers so that you don't give a shit about what you're doing.
Okay.
You just don't care. You don't care that your mom is in the audience. You don't care that there's 5,000 people there. You don't care that it's being broadcast on television. You just don't care. It's a lot of relationship building, too, between me and the participant. It's a lot of trust. Mm-hmm. They're trusting me that I'm not going to make them do something so outrageous that they're going to regret it for the rest of their life, right?
Okay.
So there's a bond there, and then giving those series of instructions, you get the result you want. Unfortunately, I can't give you the answer you want.
Yeah, I get you, though.
Unless we spent, like, a lot of time going through.
And what was the comparison or the tie-in to, you know, when you're driving and you go – because that's something that I remember.
Yeah. So – this is a little bit of a secret of hypnosis, but it's not because I say it right on my show.
Right.
That all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. Although I call myself a hypnotist, I'm really not a hypnotist.
You're a facilitator.
Exactly. I'm teaching you in a very quick amount of time how to hypnotize yourself.
Right. Okay.
So when you're driving and the wiper's going back and forth, all that snow is falling down in a 3D effect, or the light posts are going by every 2 seconds. These are all things that are allowing you to facilitate you to hypnotize yourself to get you into that trance, to get you into that state of mind.
Okay. How long would it take you to hypnotize Trump?
Oh, never. It'd be impossible. You're telling them to close your eyes. Am I closing my eyes? Are they open my eyes now? Like, it's never going to work.
I cannot close my eyes because I have the most beautiful eyes in the world.
I have the best eyelids in the world. Right?
No one knows eyes better than me.
Yeah. No, it's not going to happen. When I'm on stage and that rush of people come up on stage, just by their demeanor, their way they carry themselves, I know in my head, that guy's not going to work. That guy, that girl.
Really?
I'm sending them back eventually. I just know how they are. It's like when you walk into a bar, you know who the douchebag is right away, right? It's almost like the same kind of thing. I know who are the best participants are going to be. Yeah.
I was waiting for that, Tid.
Like, I would need about 500 people to drop dead in my showroom before I'd pick Tid to come up on stage, right?
Actually, I'll say this. Tid has that equal skill set because back in, you know, a prior lifetime when Tid and I worked in the nightclub industry and Tid was like the head bouncer, Tid was the guy that when people were lining up, he would see a guy, you know, 30 heads down and be like, that fucking guy is going to be trouble.
Absolutely.
Like he would pick them out.
You read people. You learn
to
read people. And that's the biggest thing. But here's my thing, because obviously what you do and, you know, what you're doing and stuff like that isn't like a, hey, I'm going to do this one day. You know what I mean? So at some point you came across this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like who are the guys that you studied? Because I can't imagine that, you know, the list is very big. Or is it? And we're all just a bunch of fucking morons.
No,
that's a two-parter. That's a two-parter.
Who's the Michael Jordan of hypnosis?
Yeah.
Well, the great Ravine was the Michael Jordan, who's long retired and passed away.
He dated her.
All right.
The great Ravine?
Clearly, Donnie knows who he's talking about.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Dave. I'm with you. I don't know the inside joke.
That's a funny line. The great Ravine.
What do you mean you don't get the joke?
Dude, he's not talking about someone specific. She's a ravine. That's how deep Ravine. She is.
I thought he actually had a jibby named Ravine.
This is why we love Dan, Dave. This is why we love Dan.
Dan's our brother who also serves as our token blonde.
WBH, man.
Anyways,
I don't
back
get
to
all
the
of
back
it.
To the question.
Go
who
on,
is
dude.
Who's
so,
you guys?
Peter Ravine.
Okay.
Probably the best hypnotist of all time. Retired probably back in the 90s. He's passed away. His son is kind of carrying on the thing. But the current, you know, LeBron James of hypnosis would probably be Justin Trance out of Las Vegas. And I'm just saying that based on the amount of money he makes, not how popular and how famous he is.
That is not his real name.
Yeah. It is. He changed his name to Trance. His legal last name is Trance.
Justin Trance.
I've become friends with him. I called him out on it. I asked to see his driver's license. And sure enough, his last name is Trance.
T-R-A-N-T. But he got it in Vegas. Did he get his license in Vegas? Because I'm telling you, I know a guy. I know a guy named Sammy. I know a guy named Sammy. Right up on Decatur. You can get it for like $20. Boom.
Yeah, his real name is Sethy Goldenstein. So.
No, he's legit Trance. How I got into it, I saw Mike Mandel.
Saw Mike Mandel years ago.
I saw
him. He used to do all the school shows and everything else.
Yeah, he was clean as a whistle show.
Yeah.
Show. I saw him at the CNE one year, and I was like, "What the fuck is this going on?" So, I just researched and picked up some books, started researching on my own, read books, saw as many shows as you could do. I went down to Vegas. I mentored under one of the top guys there for about 6 months. I was his stage bitch for 6 months, you know, setting up the stage, carrying his crates around, a lot of kind of stuff, asking questions. And then I just came back and gave it a real go. And 25 years later, here we are.
Dave, before we say goodnight, I want to ask you, because, you know, the dirty hypnotist show that you do, from the few times that I've gone out and seen it, there are always moments that stick out in my head as, holy shit, I can't believe that happened. Obviously, you've done tons and tons and tons of these shows. Is there one moment, I know this is a typical radio question, but is there one moment that sticks out in your head where even you were shocked by what someone on stage did?
Yeah. It was pretty bad. So as you saw in my show, Dan and Donnie, at near the end, we bring out inflatable porn stars. And the people tell us what their porn star's name is, and then they film a porn scene. It's a giant scene on stage with probably 10 to 15 people having relationships with these inflatables. And there was this one guy who was like one of the stars. There's always one or two stars of the show, and I'm sure you saw there's two stars. And there are the guys who kick ass, the girls who kick ass are the funniest. They're right under. Anyway, this guy was a star of the show, but he was walking around with a limp the whole time. He has this little funny walk and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, okay, he's just, you know, has a bum knee, a bum hip, whatever. Anyway, we get to this scene, and he's down on the ground, missionary, giving it to this inflatable. And next thing, his prosthetic leg just pops off.
Oh, shit.
So then he starts stumping her. He uses this little stump.
Was it Mad Dog Vachon?
Wow.
Yeah, so that was quite a shocking moment for me.
He was humping the blow up doll with his stump.
Yeah, he just the thing came off and it was like flapping around. So he just disconnected, threw it away, and then started using his stump on her.
Oh my God. Wait, correct me if I'm wrong. If he did that under hypnosis, does that possibly suggest that that is actually something he would normally do sexually?
No, but it's something he may want to do. Or it's something that's been in the back of his mind, or something that's been suggested to him. He's like, you know what? I don't give a fuck right now. Let's do it.
So secretly, he wants to be a stump fucker.
Or it's like the drunk guy, right? Walking into a bar who's the tough guy.
Liquid courage.
Yeah, exactly.
Does anybody think that they make amputee blow-up dolls?
This would be a good business.
Check Amazon, Tid. If not, I'll sew one up for you and sell it to you cheap.
Yeah.
Tid's already ordering. Dave, thanks so much, man. Listen, I was on your website, Dave Curran Live, checking out stuff, and I noticed that as of today, do you have shows that are tentatively booked for later this year?
No. I have everything canceled.
Everything's canceled.
You know, I figure a hypnotist is going to be the last person to return to stage.
Sure.
Honestly, because not only do we have crowd restrictions, Then we have social distancing. Do you really want people up there dancing with each other and
leaning on each other?
When we have herd immunity and it's through a vaccine and stuff, I still think people are going to be a little bit hesitant and scared.
Yeah.
In closed quarters. So luckily I do other shows. I produce other shows too. And I'm looking forward to getting back to those shows until I can get back on stage myself.
What about birthday parties? Like, if you can have 10 people over, is 10 enough to get you up there, right, in the backyard? Birthday party, they're all family. See what grandma can do with, like, one of the nephews or something like that.
I do that, but I hate them. They're the worst thing ever for me, so I charge, like, 10 times my price. So wow. If you want it, you got to pay for it.
The shows or the families?
No, doing shows for a small amount of people in the backyard.
Right.
It's the worst kind of show possible, so if you want that – the price is pretty high.
I get you, absolutely, man.
Yeah.
You were thinking for your birthday, Tid? Because we could make that happen.
No, not at all. I don't know 10 people.
Dave, thanks so much, man. If people want to get in touch with you, find out more, DaveKernLive.com?
Yeah, that's the best. And on Twitter, him, it's Dave.
Perfect.
We can talk about conspiracy theories there.
All right.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite conspiracy theory that just either that you're on board with or makes you laugh the hardest?
I got so much, and
pick one.
Lizard people.
Yeah, that's a beauty,
lizard,
right?
People. Right.
Yeah. Hey, this is Alex Jones from.
Oh, don't even do that to me, please.
We're here to talk about the lizard people. They're taking over. It's a secret government conspiracy, and we want to talk about the dog men that are being engineered by the military and the government. The all you have to do is go to my website. Fucking.
My pool guy fired me because I would not believe in his conspiracy theory.
Oh, man.
I like that you have a pool guy. You're living large, Dave.
No, well, come on. You have a pool. You need someone to open the pool and close the pool, right?
Yeah, you.
What? You do your own pool?
Your hand's broken? I live in a condo. We have people that do the pool.
Someone who cuts your grass and shovels your pathways, too.
What's grass?
You ain't got no grass. You ain't got no grass.
So, hold on. Before you let me go, let me tell the story about the pool guy. So, I posted a joke on my Facebook back in April, okay? Of a silly conspiracy theory. He called me like within 2 minutes of me posting that. This is like a 65-year-old retired guy. He's a pool guy, not very educated. And he's like, oh, you're on the wrong side of history. Don't know what you're talking about. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to give you a chance to apologize. And just totally attacked me over the phone. Then he sent me a text saying, that's it. I'm firing you. I'm not doing your pool anymore.
I'm firing you?
Yeah.
You got fired from having
I'm
your pool.
I'm not taking your money.
Yeah. And then he blocked me and that was it.
That's amazing.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I know more about conspiracies than the average person because of the close quarters I have of people talking about it.
That's going to be my new euphemism for these idiots. Whatever, pool boy.
That's a good one.
We should keep that on the show.
Yeah.
That's a great name for a podcast about conspiracies.
All the morons are just pool boys.
That's right.
I like it. Dave, thank you for contributing to the program. We appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you down the road.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
All right. That's the bad boy of hypnosis, ladies and gentlemen, Dave Curran. He is he's a longtime pal of ours, and we are always happy to have a few minutes to catch up with him.
Absolutely.
Before we go,
yeah, man.
I just want to end things on a funny, light note because something that happened this week, and Dan's going to look at me and go, guy, shut the fuck up. But I have to, Dan. I have to. Tid doesn't know this story, and I just have to. So on Sunday, I'm sitting at home. I'm with my little guy and, you know, watching movies, playing video games, whatever. Dan shoots me a text, goes, guy, I got a fucked up request. I'm like, okay, what's up? I'm thinking he's going to ask me for something sexual. Like he's finally come out of the closet, right? He goes, do you have any spare paper towels? I'm like, what? Because, you know, Dan and I live close to each other. And he's like, do you have any? I'm out of paper towels. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I got lots of paper towels, motherfucker. You need them? Like, do you need them right now? And he's like, because I'm with my kid, right? So I'm thinking, can I get them to you later? And I go, do you need them right now? He's like, nah, I got two. And I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking he's telling me he's got two rolls of paper towel. And I'm like, I'm thinking, what's this guy complaining about? He should be good. So then I talked to him like 2 days later and I'm like, yo, you still need those paper towels? He goes, guy, yes, from time. Like,
yeah,
I only had two. I'm like, you said you had two rolls. No, two sheets.
I don't know how you thought I had two rolls.
So you actually had four sheets.
Four sheets?
Paper, yeah, because they're paper towels, man. Each one of them is at least two, right?
Oh, trust.
Split them up.
You split them up. You split them up. And then if you're anything like some people that I know, after you're done washing them and using them, you kind of give them a quick rinse out, and then you hang them up to dry.
You squeeze them up. The good ones, again. Yeah. Yo, Donnie flubbed the friggin' punchline, though. What I said was, like, yeah, you didn't complete the punch. I said, yeah, Bridget, I've been using toilet paper for 2 years.
He's been using toilet paper as paper towel.
Legit. Whoa. Using toilet paper. Feeding my daughter her dinner. And be like, baby, I'm sorry.
And she's laughing at him. Yeah, dirty.
She's having her dinner and wiping her mouth with toilet paper.
But, Ted, if someone says to you, I have two paper towels left, what would you think he's saying?
Come on.
Would you think two sheets or two rolls?
No, I would think two sheets.
Really?
Thank you. Yeah.
Especially if it was Dan.
Exactly.
I didn't run it through the Dan filter.
Because I feel like he only buys them like six at a time. Like six sheets at a time. He goes down, he's the dude at the corner store. You know, everybody's in front of him buying like one, two smokes. And here's Dan buying like, yo, can I just get.
Can I get a one ounce?
I got like, how many squares can I get for $2?
I'm the Chris Rock. How about four sheets?
How much for one rib? How about if you just pour the soda in my hand? Right? Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
I don't need a bounty. Just give me a Kleenex that you haven't blown your nose in.
If I could take a napkin over to the drink fountain and run some drink under it and run home with it, can I has it?
Oh, my God.
Give me a Tim Hortons serviette, motherfucker.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I thought that would be a fun way to end. Guys, thank you so much. Any parting thoughts before we say goodnight?
I want to fight Alex Jones.
Oh, my God. Infowars.com. This is Alex Jones. The lizard people are rising.
He's younger than me. He's younger than me. That's fair, right?
You want to fight him? Like, didn't he challenge somebody for celebrity boxing a couple years ago?
Okay. Well, I want to fight him.
That would be good.
I would love that. I would love it. I would love to see you beat his ass, man.
Let's try to
leave it on your
Let's isolate this and get people out there. He's like 5 years younger than me. I got a bum leg from the knee down. You know what I mean? On the left leg, I got like two busted ass shoulders and stuff like that. He looks like he's in good competition shape, right?
Fight what kind of competition?
I don't know. Eating.
Yeah, he's not fighting Kobayashi.
No, he's right. Eating Kobayashi's.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Guys, this has been a lot of fun. And you know what? I'm happy that in a week where it feels like the world is going to hell in a handbasket, we somehow still tend to try to find what's positive in the world. And we still try to find a moment to smile. That does not, though, and I don't want anyone to ever think that us showing moments of levity takes away from the severity and takes away from the empathy that we feel for everything that has gone on in the world, not just this week, but over the last 12 months and over the last 100 years and the last 500 years. We are not sitting by idly and just giggling and laughing, but sometimes if you don't laugh, you're going to cry. And us sitting here crying is not going to be a good program. So listen, thank you for sitting here with us for the last little while. And gentlemen, thank you so much on behalf of my bro Danny O and Notorious T.I.D. Thank you to all our sponsors, Kangle Hats, Camelback, Coffee Friend, Eyeglasses.com, Factory Supply Outlet, Air Vape, Fight, Just CBD, NordVPN. Go to GodfathersOfPodcasting.com. Make sure you check out all of our sponsors, purchase stuff, buy stuff, so we can keep doing this for you. My name is Donnie DeSilva. This is episode 37. We are done this party. We'll see you next week.
Peace.